You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour two on this festive Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. My new best friend, Todd Fritz, in here in the man cave, all decked out his festive Denver Bronco Christmas gear. It's a nice getup.
Thank you.
You look good. And then we shamed the other Danettes into dressing a little more festive. So they went to their closets, their respective closets, and they brought out something. It just looks like you guys are cold. You guys don't look like you're in the festive spirit.
Here's the season, Dan.
No, Seton, you just look like you're cold. That's all. Yeah, Paul. Huh.
I grabbed one of my numerous moose sweaters. You don't like this one?
Yeah, it's nice. It's all right. But you didn't lead with it. You didn't come in with that.
That's like fair.
You came in from the bullpen. Todd and I are starters here. You know, we're shilling in a big unit. Like, we're bringing noise today with our festive spirit here. Wait till tomorrow if you're watching on Peacock. Ladies, you're not going to want to miss that. Well, ladies, you might want to miss this.
If you can handle the calendar, you could pretty much handle anything in life.
Yeah. You know, we didn't let anybody know what the pictures look like in the calendar. So now I'm hearing from people going, you didn't tell us. You didn't warn us. I go, I didn't know I had to warn you. I told you there was nudity in the calendar. I just didn't tell you. I mean, we're known for our nudity. And that's where people are going, wait, you didn't, I can't show this in my office. And I go, okay.
Do we put some rated sticker on the front like they do with the video games? Maybe that's on us, like, you know, for mature audiences or something.
Yeah. Well, they used to do that with rap albums and CDs. So maybe we need to do that with the calendar next year. Well, you know what? Okay. No nudity next year. There. Hope you're happy.
Then I'm out. That's not fun.
Yes.
I look forward to that.
Our calendar, though, is for extremely immature audiences.
All right, we'll come up with a poll question. We have a poll question. I don't know if we're staying with a poll question, but McLovin was very proud of it. Coming up, he's Aqib Talib. He is a former Pro Bowl defensive back, and now he's an analyst for Fox Sports. And I was listening to the Eagles-Cardinals game. I was watching it. And the more I'm listening, the more I'm enjoying what Aqib Talib is doing. He sounds like a former player. He sounds like a former player who didn't go to broadcasting school. He's just a former player. He's also not a quarterback. So he's giving you a different view of the game. Because a lot of your analysts are former offensive players and certainly quarterbacks. But he is a defensive back, and I appreciated what he was bringing to the broadcast. And he'll join us coming up here. Bengals beat the Steelers last night, 27-10. You know, it was a night where Ben Roethlisberger goes over 60,000 yards in his career. And he got beat by a quarterback who threw for less than 100 yards last night. Here you go. Here's Ben Roethlisberger versus Ryan Finley in their careers. Ben has 155 wins. Ryan Finley has one last night. Ben has thrown for 60,000 yards. Ryan Finley has thrown for 638. Ben has thrown 393 touchdowns. Ryan Finley has thrown three. Sound like a stat of the day to me. Couple of stats of the day.
Stat of the day.
What?
Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Here's Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, on, is his team any good right now?
Man, we got a lot of work to do. We're not a good football group right now. And so we understand the consequences that come with that. We're working on a short week. We got to be better than what we've been. And that's just the reality of it.
The Steelers are the third team in NFL history to win at least 11 games to start the season, then lose at least three in a row. The other two, very different end results. The 1969 Rams, 11-0, lost their last three, and then they lost their first playoff game. 2009 Saints started out 13-0, lost their last three. They finished 13-3 and then went on to win the Super Bowl. The Steelers had 40 total yards in the first half last night. 40. The lowest output in Mike Tomlin's 14 years as the head coach there. They had more turnovers in the first half, three, than first downs, two.
Stat of the day.
We'll get your phone calls coming up. McLovin, give me the results of the first hour poll question.
Okay, who is the least scary potential AFC playoff team? The Dolphins are the least scary, with the Steelers right behind them.
Okay. It feels like Miami knows who they are, and Pittsburgh doesn't know, or they forgot who they are, or they can't be who they once were. But that's the poll question. If you did you have any other poll questions, McLovin?
Yeah, and by the way, Miami has the Raiders and the Bills coming up and probably has to win both to get in, so it's not a guarantee. Free agent quarterbacks. Next year, if you have a choice of these guys, who do you want? Mitchell Trubisky, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, or Jameis Winston? Not going to put in, unless you think I should, I wouldn't put Dak Prescott on that, assuming he'll probably go back to Dallas.
I'm going to say Sam Darnold. I still think he can play at a high level. I don't know what Jameis Winston has learned in New Orleans. I'd be really curious about that, as if he stays or if he goes to another team. Mitchell Trubisky, I have no idea what I'm getting, but I commend him for kind of regrouping, because he got kicked to the curb and he's played pretty well for the Bears, and they might even slip in and make the playoffs. I don't think Cam can play, not at a high level, not even a reasonably high level anymore, not on a consistent basis. Sam Darnold, I think, with a better situation, I'd love to see what he could do. If you said that Sam Darnold on the Niners, Sam Darnold on the Steelers, Sam Darnold plug and play some other place, I'd like to see what he can do. I think he's still very athletic, and I think he's still very talented. And Jameis Winston has all the talent. I just didn't think that he wasn't able to process the game where I need to stop taking chances here, or that doesn't make sense to do that right now. And he needs a filter. And hopefully Sean Payton and Drew Brees have given him that, or they at least see how Drew approaches the game, and maybe that helps, because he does have the talent. I just don't know if he can be a great quarterback. Might be a good quarterback, maybe a starter again. You sort of see the blueprint of what we saw with Ryan Tannehill, and maybe Marcus Mariota is going to follow the same blueprint, where it takes a little while, you go to another team, you're a backup, you get to start, and then you continue to play well. And I think that that's the interesting part with some of these quarterbacks who aren't going to get extended, and where do they go? Also, you have to factor in what's going on with the Jets. If the Jets aren't getting Trevor Lawrence, I would think long and hard about staying with Sam Darnold. Now, I don't know what Sam's going to cost me, so I'm going to factor that in as well. You know, I love having that rookie quarterback because I get that rookie salary, that rookie contract, and then you can build on that. But Sam Darnold, if you said I can have Justin Fields or Sam Darnold, I would stay with Sam Darnold. I don't know about Justin Fields. And to go into a situation like that as a rookie, I don't know if he's Dwayne Haskins 2.0 from the standpoint of he was unbelievable for 1 year at Ohio State. Justin Fields hasn't been great this year, and he hasn't, you know, the stop and the start, games, you know, canceled. I understand all of those things. But you got a great running back. You got weapons there. I mean, Ohio State has everything. But I would like to see a little bit more out of Justin Fields. And maybe we'll see that come, you know, playoff time. You know, if I'm the Jets, I would certainly entertain trading that pick. And I don't know if somebody is going to be in love with Justin Fields. Feels like they're more in love with the Kyle Trask, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, because you don't have to go up and get them at number two. You know, Justin Fields, it feels like you might have to go up and get him, and I don't know if teams are willing to do that. Trevor Lawrence, yes. Justin Fields, no. And he's extremely talented. Don't get me wrong. I haven't seen that yet from him this year, and we certainly saw that from him last year. Army got a bowl game. We are happy to have their coach on. Coach Monken yesterday, and he said, look, we're 9-2. We want to play. Now, this is really important to these kids. Their last football game, those who were seniors, we want to play. We'll play wherever. And Liberty Bulls said, Tennessee's bowing out. Come on in. You guys get to play West Virginia. So happy to see that. Games coming up tonight, Tulane, Nevada, Central Florida, BYU. You got the NBA with the Warriors, Nets, Clippers, and the Lakers. Yes, Milwaukee Bucks fans. I forgot to mention Giannis. We were talking about those who can win the MVP. And Giannis, I mentioned Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic. I don't know if there's anybody else in there. I forgot the Greek Freak. Greek Freak has won it back-to-back times. I was wondering the last time a player won three consecutive NBA MVPs. Do you realize when Derrick Rose won in 2010, that interrupted LeBron. So LeBron won four of those 5 years. From 08 to 2012, LeBron won four of the five times. So Derrick Rose comes in, and Derrick Rose was great. But LeBron could have won five in a row. Michael won back-to-back MVPs. Magic, I think, had back-to-back. There was a run where it was Magic in 86, Jordan 87, Magic 88, Magic 89, Michael 90, Michael 91. Ooh, that was a great run. The last player to win three consecutive MVPs was Larry Bird, 1983-84, 84-85, 85-86. I think prior to that, it was Wilt Chamberlain back in the mid-60s that he won three in a row. There was a run with Kareem, 1970, 71, 73, 75, 76. Dave Cowens and Bob McAdoo ended up winning MVPs in there. But the Greek Freak with back-to-back and, you know, re-energized, I'm sure, with that new contract and Jrue Holiday in there, and maybe they're ready to go in Milwaukee. We'll talk to Nick Wright from Fox Sports. He has some thoughts on the NBA. He'll join us coming up next hour. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Hey, Kyle. I hope you guys on the East Coast tonight get the chance to stay up for the Lakers ring ceremony against the Clippers. I'm going to be grinning from ear to ear. It's going to be glorious. And, DP, the Lakers got better. Yep. LeBron is still the best player in the league. AD's the second best player in the league. They're laser focused. They're thinking two-peat. LeBron is legacy focused. They're thinking two, three-peat. Who else got really that better? I need to be hosed off. I'm going surfing. See you guys.
Thank you, Kyle. Hosed off. I need to be hosed off. Sounds like a t-shirt. I need to be hosed off. I don't know how much LeBron is going to play, like how many true games he plays. I don't think it'll be minutes restriction, load management from that standpoint. But if I'm the Lakers, I want to limit the number of games I can without drawing the glare of the league office here. I don't think Anthony Davis is the second best player in the NBA. He's too inconsistent for me. I would still say the Greek Freak. And, you know, there's certain things. The Greek Freak has got to be better from the free throw line. I don't know what that is about certain players. They can't shoot free throws. Don't know what that is. Don't know if it's mental or you just don't practice. You don't want to practice. It's probably mostly mental. But he's working on his form. And I was noticing this, looking at old free throw attempts by him. And he wasn't using, he would kind of stiff his arms up to shoot. It's all from the bottom up. It's just a flow. Like you just, it's a rhythm when you shoot your free throw. Even LeBron's free throw doesn't look good. Doesn't look at all. You know, because he gets up there and he gets, and then he goes. Just all you need to do is watch what you have with Steph Curry. It's just a pure, nice motion. No extra movement. No, you know, it's not, you know, jittery. It's not cumbersome. It's just whenever you shoot a free throw, it's think about your knees and then you just go up and you follow through and keep your hand up there as long as you can. That's what you need to do. And a lot of these guys, they'll short arm it. It's not a flow. They'll start and then they'll stop or they won't, you know, finish it all the way through. And if the Greek Freak is able to continue to add, which great players do, then, you know, he's going to be the guy to beat for the MVP because he will play. They've had the best record in the NBA, but this is what happens. I ran down all those MVPs. At some point, the writers go, you know what? We've had this story. I mean, Jordan, they'd had the Jordan story. Well, we'll give it to Charles Barkley. Barkley was great. They gave it to Karl Malone. Karl Malone was great. But they got tired of the Jordan story, in my opinion. This happens. And I think you might have Greek freak. They'll be weary of this, it feels like. Fatigue. Greek freak fatigue. But, you know, everybody's going to say Luka Doncic here. Okay. I want to see what else he can do. I want to see, you know, night in and night out, he's great. But everybody's going to look at Luka, and they're kind of with the Greek freak. Like, okay, let me see when you get to the postseason. You know, is Kristaps Porzingis going to be healthy there? Now, I want to see how good the team is with Dallas. But, you know, if you said Luka, Greek freak, Anthony Davis, LeBron, I thought the writers wanted to give LeBron the MVP last year. And they may still want to do it this year where they go, you know what? We should give him one more here. I know it sounds strange, crazy to say that that's how writers think. Now, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, it felt like there was a soft spot in the hearts of these writers. And it was with me because I go, is everybody realizing what's going on here? Like this guy is unbelievable. This guy has put up great numbers, reinvented himself, playing point guard, deferring, playing defense, and they're going to win a title. And he was the best player. Like whether you want to buy into that or not, and I'm sure, you know, people have their, you know, love-hate relationship with LeBron, it's a pretty unique story. Because if you said at the end of the year, end of the season, LeBron would have been your MVP because of what happened in the bubble. And that's as challenging as anybody has ever had in winning a championship. Not everybody agrees, but I think that that's as challenging as you'll ever find given the circumstances there. Because guys they're ready to climb the walls. Like the walls were closing in. And you had players who said, you know, basically, I need to get out of here. But LeBron and that team, and it almost fell apart. Remember when they had the players-only meeting? Lakers were leaving the bubble. Is that tenuous? Is that crazy? So a lot of respect for what they did, and I'm curious to see what kind of shape LeBron is going to be in because that's a lot of wear and tear. Nobody's had that wear and tear on their body this late in their career and played at this high a level and been the leader of that team. So extremely impressed with what I saw with LeBron. And I don't know if he's going to have a great regular season, but that doesn't mean he won't have a great postseason. All right, we'll take a break. It's 20 after the hour. We'll check in with Aqib Talib as he is in the broadcast booth. I don't know what's more colorful, his commentary or the outfits he's wearing. Because his game day gear is pretty good, pretty special. 20 after the hour. Take a break. Back after this. Todd and I got a chance to see the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van yesterday.
That was crazy.
We're giving this away. DanPatrick.com and all the details are there. You don't have to, you know, qualify doing anything. You don't have to buy anything. It's just Mercedes has been a wonderful partner. And they said, hey, we got a Sprinter van that we're going to trick out. Would you like to give it away? I said, absolutely. The sweepstakes end January 24th. But get all the information. Go to DanPatrick.com. It's wild. It's really, really, I mean, you're ready to go on a road trip. Once we get ready for road trips, this is the one you want to have a tailgate with.
And we cannot win that.
No, we cannot. No. But you can check it out. They have all kinds of technology there. They got flat screens. They got a place for a grill. An awning that comes out where you can sit underneath in inclement weather. But check it all out with Mercedes-Benz, their Sprinter van, TVs, a wood pellet grill, all the information at danpatrick.com. The sweepstake ends January 24th, 2021. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz vans, where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. The extra mile, customization options, cutting-edge tech, their five-star sales service financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. I was watching the Eagles game against the Cardinals, and I was enjoying the commentary by Aqib Talib, the Fox Sports analyst, five-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl with the Broncos, and now working for Fox. And Aqib Talib joining us on the program. How would you rate your performance so far, Aqib?
I don't have to rate it, man. I just go out and try to have a little fun, so. You know, I got pretty good feedback. I read it off the feedback. So, you know, I got pretty good feedback from the guys over at Fox. So I guess it was decent.
But also, it's really important to get people who are going to be honest with you. Because a lot of people just say, hey, man, sounded good. And if they say that, then say, well, what did you like? Like, you got to, if you really want to know, if you approach this the way you did as a defensive back, hey, I want to be great. How do I be great? You have to approach it the same way, and hopefully you got some people who won't just go, yeah, that was good, man. I enjoyed it. Ask them, or was there anything that you didn't like? Because if you do ask those questions, you might get some answers that can really help you.
Right. That's and I do that, Rich. I'm sorry. I do that. I got some people on my team who brutally honest, so I think from week one, from the first game to the second game, I think I improved, and I think it had a lot to do with the criticism that I received from people who I asked.
But also, you're looking at this from a defensive perspective, or at least I get that feeling. A lot of analysts or offensive, you know, players, former quarterbacks, are you purposely looking at it from a different perspective because you played defensive back?
Well, I think I look at it. I just watch the game and talk about it as I see it. So naturally I see it as a defensive person, a defensive perspective. So I think I call the game that way. So I think that just comes naturally.
And then you start to break things down. Like, it's weird to watch a game that way. Are you watching off the monitor? Or are you watching the actual game itself?
Well, I watch the actual game itself. So I watch, I just watch and see what coverage they in. Once the play starts, I see what coverage they in. My eyes kind of move to the quarterback, and I see where he throw the ball at, and I know kind of what he's throwing the ball into, you know, because I know what coverage they in. So I always start with the defense, see what they plan first, and then my eyes move to the offense. But I'm watching the game off the field itself.
And I love that you just tell it as it is. I feel like I'm watching a game with a former player, but not a former player who went – to broadcast school. You're just saying, hey, this is what I see and this is what I'm saying, and it's refreshing. And I hope you're able to still be yourself, because a lot of times the executives come in or producers or directors and then they want to change you a little bit. I like that it's not polished, but I didn't expect it to be, because you're starting out and trying to figure all of this out. But it feels honest, Aqib. That's probably the best compliment I can give you. It feels honest in what you're telling me when you're breaking things down. Are you worried about being too honest in that position?
I'm not. I'm just, I go off the audition. During a pandemic, I had an audition, and we kind of did it over the Zoom call. We called a game. Me and Kevin Burkhart called a game over Zoom. And I just, however I called the game on there, it was good enough for me to sign a three-game deal with Fox.
Oh, good.
So, you know, if it was good enough to do that, then it was good enough to give me a second game, you know. So I only know one way to do it. You know what I'm saying, Dan? I don't know how to not be myself. And the executive hasn't came in and told me to not be myself and not be honest yet. So I only know one way to do it. So that's the way I'm doing it.
Who's picking out the game day outfits there for you?
Oh, I am. I'm doing all the wardrobe. I always been a dresser of myself, you know. But I have a suit lady. I have a suit lady at the company LVA, and she always does a great job. I kind of give her the feel what I'm kind of going for, and she always do a great job bringing it to life.
Who would you rather face, Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts?
Oh, that's a tough question. They both so similar. They bring a lot of stuff to the table. As far as, man, when that pass play break down, they can turn the running backs, and they both throwing the ball super good right now as well. Man, that's a tough question, man. You're going to have your hands full with either one, Dan.
Yeah, but you got to pick, though, Akib. Come on. You're an analyst now.
I'd rather play Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray. He just got another year of experience under his belt. I think he's a little further along in his progression right now. So as of right now, today,
yeah,
I take Jalen Hurts. Play against Jalen Hurts.
What was the scouting report on Roethlisberger when you played?
That he'll hold the ball, create that extra second. He was in that category with those quarterbacks, the ones that you got to, instead of 2.5 seconds, we got to guard our receiver for 3.5 seconds because Big Ben, he'll shake a guy off. And he'll create the extra second. What else we had on Big Ben? He had a great deep ball. If a guy covered, he'll still try you with a great deep ball. And that was as far as Big Ben, not Pittsburgh. As far as Big Ben, that was probably the main two things that I had in my notebook.
Yeah. And then you played against and with Brady.
Definitely.
What is that book still accurate of if you were facing Tom now as opposed to, you know, 5-7 years ago?
It's different. It's changing. A different offense, man. It was a lot of quick game, a lot of over the middle, inside the numbers, seams. It was a lot of those kind of passes. Now it's the field is definitely stretching with that Bruce Arians offense. So it's you have some adjustments. It's some still vintage Tom Brady still in that offense, but it's definitely a lot more passes downfield for Tom.
Didn't you say back in March, I think, that Brady was leaving the Patriots? Is that right?
I might have. I mean, this is what y'all do. Y'all supposed to be able to bring the recording up. But I had the feeling it was over. I remember me saying, I think the marriage is over, man. It's burnt out. I remember saying it's burnt out, I think. And I remember predicting that Tom was going to move on.
Yeah. And it's a weird thing, though, that just to see him, you know, in Tampa. Did you get yelled at by Belichick?
I did. I think just about everybody got yelled at by Belichick. So, yeah, practice, definitely in practice. A few times in the game. Yeah, Bill, you know, he's not going to bite his tongue, so. If you in the mix, if you in the game, in the mix, you're probably going to get yelled at from him, you know what I'm saying, sooner or later.
He's Akib Talib, the Fox NFL analyst, 5-time Pro Bowler, won the Super Bowl with the Broncos, Super Bowl 50. This Friday, the Vikings take on the Saints. Special Christmas Day matchup coverage begins at 3:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video. Do you have any beef left over with somebody that, you know, that's not going away, even though you're not playing anymore? Are you mad at anybody?
Nah, I never really played mad at nobody. I mean, somebody do something disrespectful in the game, I usually handle it. But, you know, I kind of leave it where it's at. I don't beef with nobody in the NFL right now, man. A lot more friends than enemies in the NFL.
Who's the wide receiver that you lined up and you knew this is going to be a long day?
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I followed him around, I think, two times in my career. And I think I played against him maybe 4 times in my career. And every time, man, I watching it on tape, I'm like, this guy is the best. Then when we got to the game, it definitely translated, and he was definitely the best in the game.
Who's the quarterback you loved to face?
Quarterback who I loved to face? Oh, let me go back. Take you, Jason Campbell. I'm gonna go back a little bit, man. I enjoyed playing against Jason Campbell. Felt like he was on my team some of the time. I definitely love. He threw me 3 interceptions one game. Oh man, I seen him in the lobby. I seen him in the lobby of the hotel one time in Miami Super Bowl time. Told him he was my favorite quarterback. definitely Jason Campbell.
Oh, that is so good! Wow. Did he think that it was a compliment, or did he know?
I don't know. It was Super Bowl time, so you know. It was a young league, Super Bowl time, man. Had a couple guys with me. My brother was with me, man. He was hanging out, getting into the room. So
that is
I think coming from me, he probably knew what I was talking about.
Well, I think he would remember he threw 3 picks. And so if you walk up to him and he's like, "You're my favorite quarterback, man."
Yeah, he knew exactly what I mean.
Hey, well, good luck with the rest of the year. Hopefully you got some more games in there, and we appreciate your time, Aqib.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I'll take care.
All right, that's Aqib Talib. Yeah, I enjoy it. Like I said, he's not for everybody, I'm sure, the purist, but I just felt that I was listening to somebody who just – it's almost like they just left the field – and they were just up in the booth. They stopped by to do a game. And he just has fun with it. He just says what he sees. And I thought it was refreshing. It was just, and it was different coming from the perspective of a defensive back. Because when you think about it, how many defensive players are analysts? Most of them are offensive players, former players. I'm guessing, right? If you run down the list of players who are doing games, mostly you got offensive players. But, you know, to give that perspective, I always thought Ed Reed of the Ravens could be a great analyst. But, you know, what I loved about Ed Reed was he's seeing it from center field. So he's your quarterback on defense, and I always wondered what he saw. Here's a little taste of Aqib Talib.
Toward the sideline, there's Hopkins again. Wow, touchdown.
What do you do? Try to play man coverage. You got to guard Hopkins. Try to play zone coverage. Kyler Murray dices it up. Great pass. Great location of the football. Back shoulder fade. Right there by Hopkins. Great hands by Hopkins. Doing what he does best.
Yeah, you know, it's just I'm not dressing it up. I don't need to give you, you know, a gap and all of that stuff. It's just, this is the reason why it worked. You know, you're going to do man coverage and then you pay the price there. Yeah, McLovin.
That's so cornerback, though, or defensive back to say, instead of what a great throw, he immediately talks about the coverage they were in. You know, you're right. You never hear that.
But what a burn. You walk up to Jason, poor Jason Campbell, the former Auburn quarterback, played for the Washington Redskins. And he, now I'm just wondering what it must have been. Jason Campbell's with his boys, he said. And you walk up and you go, "Hey, Keeb, hey, Jason, man, you're my favorite quarterback." And he's probably thinking, "Damn, man, you play with some great quarterbacks here." That's,
you know,
awesome.
His buddies were like, "Damn, dude."
And then that's where they walk away. And then Jason probably is going, "Wait a minute, what did he mean by that? Dude, he was burning you. I mean, you threw 3 picks to him. That's why you're his favorite quarterback." What? Damn. Yeah, Paul.
In one game, not career, one game.
I always wondered about that with players, how you leave those grudges, bad blood on the field, that it happened there, it stays there. That's part of life in the NFL. I just don't, if you said somebody had an illegal block on me, a crackback, or if I played against the Broncos when they were doing that cheap chop block stuff that was illegal, you put my career on the line. Like, I would still harbor a grudge. Not that you can do anything about it, but they may go, "Well, it's wasted energy. Like, nothing I could do." But, man, I would be mad. Imagine if somebody spit in your face. Like, that never leaves. Wasn't it J.J. Stokes and Bill Romanowski? Like, that never leaves. When you do, there are certain things, if that happens, that would never go away. T. Buckley Steve Smith Super Bowl? That ain't going away. Knowing Steve Smith, there is no way he's letting that go. Yes, Tom.
Now, you can let it bother you for years to come, but if you happen to run into them somewhere, wherever that may be on the field, or are you actually going to approach them and fight as you get up in your older years for something that may have happened 5, 10, 15 years ago? Like, what would you do?
I don't know.
If it bothers you that much, you can't just ignore him or give him a dirty look.
I'm in my late 30s and I run into somebody who may have done something illegal.
Who never apologized for it or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I would do. But I don't think I could go up and say hello. I don't think I could shake somebody's hand and be like, nah, we ain't good. We're not cool. I got nothing to say to you, man. And I know it's wasted energy. But I just think that you play, you know that you have a finite amount of time that your body is going to give out at some point. And somebody does something where they chop block you, they blindside hit, whatever it might be, that's something where you go above and beyond the call of duty. Like Vontaze Burfict would bother me. Like I'd have a problem if I'm Antonio Brown with Vontaze Burfict the rest of my life, because I think he's cheap shot. I'd have no respect for Vontaze Burfict. And he was like this in college, and he proved that he was like that in the NFL. And I don't think Antonio Brown was ever the same after what Vontaze Burfict did to him. But I'd have a hard time going, yeah, hey, what's up, man? Give me a bro hug. Nah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls coming up right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I want to thank the backroom guys, all the work they've done this entire year and certainly the last 10 months during COVID, and those who have been working remotely, those who've come into the man cave. Go the extra mile, your very own upfitted. It's another word for tricked out. Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van you could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. You can get official rules. Go to danpatrick.com. January 24th is when it ends, so make sure you enter. Doesn't cost anything. Just Mercedes-Benz being a great partner, Mercedes-Benz vans. This was Steve Smith and... the spitting incident was with the cornerback of the Patriots, Tyrone Poole, is what I have. Steve Smith said he's still upset about the Super Bowl game with the Patriots, Tyrone Poole, who he accused Poole of spitting in his face in the second quarter. Poole denies the allegation, says that he was shouting at Smith when saliva came out of his mouth. All right. Oh. Here we go. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting the Washington football team is aware of social media posts showing quarterback Dwayne Haskins partying maskless in a strip club. They're in contact with the NFL yesterday about the matter and is handling the matter internally, according to Tom Pelissero. That would be a strip sack, I would believe, on Dwayne Haskins there.
I like it.
He just got back on the field. What are you doing?
Strip sack.
But this is also the same guy, after a loss where he threw for 300 yards, was bragging about how good his stats were, reportedly, and they lost the game. Oh, boy. Come on, Dwayne. Come on. Better than that, right? Yeah. Strip sack. What do you think, Todd?
I think it's that's the winner in the clubhouse.
Thank you.
Of course, I'm thinking of others right now, but that's...
Let's just keep it right there. Okay. It's just a one-off mock headline.
Isn't there a Mark Maskey that works for the Washington Post? That should be his story if it's about a mask. See, did I ruin it? I ruined it.
Yeah, you did.
I shouldn't have
verbalized. That's where you just let it stand alone. Like you just go,
I do think it's interesting, though, that there's a writer in Washington. We're talking about a Washington football team.
I know, but you didn't let it stand alone.
Strip sack.
It's just a standalone, and then we all move on.
We'll go with strip sack. That's the one.
Yeah, but it's.
I ordered it. I ruined it.
I don't know if we're gonna do the sports
nicknames
tomorrow.
Don't do that.
I don't know if we're going.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I just
was it that egregious what I just said that would you ruin the whole? We've been counting down to the last show of the year.
You kind of bigfooted me.
I acknowledge how good strip sack.
How about this? We'll do it on Friday.
Wow, I know what that means. Tomorrow's our last show of the year, isn't it? That's your way of saying I can't do it.
I'll come in on Friday.
Oh, you'll make a special trip Friday?
Yes.
It's Christmas Day Friday.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I would come in. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we celebrated Hanukkah.
We did.
Yeah.
I think you'll give me a second chance. Mm. I think it's worth it.
Hanukkah's over, right?
Hanukkah's been over for a little while, but I still have the menorah.
I know. I see that. The menorah's right there.
I just can't let it go. I think it's nice for a few extra days to have all the candles lit.
But you don't look at it.
I take a glance at it. I have like three menorahs at my house. I've seen more than enough festivals of lights to get me through the year. But I like that we're showing support for different religions and cultures. It's nice.
I would think your favorite singer.
Oh, here we go.
What?
You're going to say something corny now that if I would have said it, you would destroy me. But go ahead. The host gets away with it.
Okay, wait. Is Strip Sack a good headline for Dwayne Haskins?
It's an excellent one.
So if he gets punished, Strip Sack.
Yes.
At a strip club with no mask on.
At this moment, until I think of something else, I think that is by far the leader in the clubhouse.
Okay.
That should win. That should strip. You got stripped.
I know, but
and
I'm sack saying.
And quarterback, that's perfect.
Okay, then I'll move on.
No, but well, who's
no,
the,
no,
who's
no,
the,
no, no.
Who's the menorah Hanukkah
menorah
singer?
Jones.
Menorah Jones. Okay. Okay. It's not better than strip sack, but I'll let you get away with it.
All right. Ryan in Maryland. Hi, Ryan. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Hey, Ryan.
Hold on 1 second. I just got to take this off. yeah, that Aqib Talib interview was funny, especially when he said, well, my favorite quarterback was Jason Campbell because he felt like he was on my team.
Oh.
But you know, I feel bad for Jason Campbell's career because I like Jason Campbell coming out of Auburn. I don't think he really had a fair chance to really get a shot at an official.
Oh, I don't want to discuss. I don't want to discuss Jason Campbell's career. It was just a funny line. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff.
What up, though, Dan? One time for chat row. I wanted to expound upon the interview with Aqib Talib as well. Listen, in the booth, and he's my new favorite analyst. In the booth, he was going back and forth with his partner, and his partner says, I guess you don't agree with them getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, and you don't agree with what Bill O'Brien did. And he turns and says, well, that's why he don't have a job right now anyway, or something like that. And it was the funniest thing. Probably about 2 seconds later, DeAndre Hopkins catches the touchdown. Now, my question to you is this, Dan. If you're the GM of the Detroit Lions at this point, what do you do with Matthew Stafford? Because it's a lot of teams that I think are going to be kicking the tires and trying to get that guy to come. The 49ers, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. I mean, I could even see him in some type of situation. Could you imagine him in L.A. with the L.A. Rams?
Oh, that's not going to happen. But thank you, Jeff. I got to have Jeff move on from the Detroit Lions. I feel bad for him. He's holding on for dear life. Nick Wright. It's Fox Sports coming up.